Welcome to this Thursday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And today we're going to learn financial lessons from the Three Little Pigs.
Well, it ought to be an interesting program, Dave, but I'm actually inspired by that fairy tale. And it's funny how that came about, Dave, because my pastor listens to Money Life. And he tells me every now and then he gets material that he uses, and I'm going to come to church and hear myself being preached back to the congregation.
Right.
And I said, well, it works the other way too, John. There are days I hear what you're saying, and I pick it up, and I use it on Money Life. And I wasn't there this past week, but Pastor Batusik taught on the financial lessons from the Three Little Pigs. And I thought it was so novel that I got out my book and reread it. And I thought, wow, there's some great lessons here. And so today I'm going to teach my version of the financial lessons from the Three Little Pigs.
Well, for those who may need a refresher of the story, basically it's three little pigs that were sent out by their mother to go seek their fortune, and she gives them two things to do. Number one is to build a home, and number two is to beware that there is a wolf and to not be caught by the wolf. And so the first pig builds his home made out of straw, and the second pig makes his home out of sticks, and the third pig makes his home out of bricks. Well, story goes, the wolf comes, blows down the first house. The first pig runs for shelter with his brother in the stick house. Then the wolf comes to the second house, and he blows that house down. And both pigs then run to the safety of their brother's home in the brick house, at which point the wolf cannot blow it down, threatens to come in, eventually does come down the chimney, lands in a pot of boiling water, and leaves the house running scalded, and the pigs are standing at the doorway. And in the Disney version, they are singing,
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
Right. That's how we remember that. And that's the story.
Well, I know our listeners are wondering, what in the world are we going to get out of this program? But I think there's some great lessons in there, Dave. In fact, it's interesting to me that there are two separate versions of this story out there. We're going to talk about the different versions in the conclusion of today's program. But stay tuned. I want to go through each one of these scenarios and apply some biblical financial principles to each one. And I think our listeners are going to actually be able to see themselves in this story. And it's a wonderful story, Dave. Got a lot of punch to it, and I think they're going to see some truth that God wants them to see in this wonderful fairy tale.
You're listening to Money Life, and we'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we are talking about the financial lessons that you can learn from that wonderful fairy tale called The Three Little Pigs. You know, most of us grew up with it. Most of us know it by heart. In fact, I did a little research on it. I think it was originally written in 1843, so it has been around about 165 years, so that should qualify that pretty much everybody listening has been able to hear it or know of it. But it's a wonderful little short story that has some very interesting financial implications. So let's talk about the first little pig. He had the exact same goal as the other pigs. He was to go out and build a house and be sure that he was protected from the big bad wolf. But that pig chose the most expedient material, probably the cheapest material. It was easily collected. It was very light. And he didn't give any thought to the dangers of the wolf, and he just got it over with as soon as possible. Now, it's interesting that that house gave the appearance of a home, but it didn't have any real work to it. It didn't have any real structure to it. And it says that that pig wanted to just have a good time. In other words, his purpose was to get the work behind him as quickly as possible, get a roof over his head, and just to goof off. Now, here's the lesson that I see in that story. Many people do the exact same thing when they build a financial house of straw. They don't have any real drive. They don't have interest in hard work. They don't do any planning. They don't set any goals. And they don't have any purpose. And I would call a house of straw somebody who's living without any financial margin. And if you have no margin, then all it takes is a strong wind and your house is blown over. It doesn't even take a big typhoon. It doesn't take a hurricane. It doesn't take an earthquake. It doesn't take anything major. Just a little wind, and that house goes completely over because you didn't put your best effort into building your financial house. Now, I've met people like this. In fact, I've counseled people like this. An example that comes to my mind is a young couple that came to me for help some years ago. And as they told me their story, I could hardly believe my ears. They'd only been married for 6 months. When they got married, they both had master's degrees, and they had borrowed money, and so they had student loans. Both of them had student loans. Now, when they decided to get married, they didn't have any money, so the husband bought the wedding ring, a very expensive wedding ring, on a credit card. They had a big church wedding with a lot of people involved, and so they wanted to have a big honeymoon, and again, the husband put that cost on his credit card. After they got married, they both needed a new car, they thought. So they bought new cars, one for each other, and they borrowed money to do that. Then, of course, they wanted a new house. So they went to her father and said, how about loaning us a down payment? And then they bought a house they couldn't afford to live in. And then, of course, they needed furniture in that house. And guess what they bought that with? Credit cards. So by the time I met them, 6 months into their relationship, they had absolutely no money and an enormous amount of debts. And his income was totally based on commission. And when the house of cards fell down or the financial house of hay blew down, it took only 1 month of missing a paycheck when the commissions didn't come in. And that's what brought him into my office. That was a financial house of hay with a very simple, gentle wind, in fact, that blew it completely over. I met people who came to me for counseling. Now, this couple made $175,000 a year on one income, but they owned two houses, and the mortgages on those two houses represented 100% of their income. Now, that's a financial house built on hay. You can't sustain that even if you only had one house that took up half of your income, but certainly not two houses that take up 100% of your income, absolutely no margin. I don't know if you read in the paper of the young man out in California, the young couple. He was a software programmer, and when the subprime mortgage crisis hit and home prices started falling, he had 14 homes foreclosed upon at the same time. And he said he had just gotten carried away. He made a couple $100,000 a year, bought one house, wanted to flip it, decided to buy another, 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 and there was no way he could pay for all of those homes. And it just took a small, gentle wind to blow over the whole house of cards. Bloomberg recently did a survey that said 30% of the people in America would have a difficult time coming up with $1,000 if they had to do it overnight. That means a third of the people in this country live in a financial house of hay like this little pig, with no fear about any wind, no fear from the big bad wolf. They just go out and do not take care of the basic needs. And I would say many of these people have no regard for what God's word says about managing money. It's not even a part of their thinking. Well, there's a second little pig in this story, and that's the pig who did something totally different, and that was he built a house made of sticks. Now, obviously, it's sturdier than hay, and it looks like it's going to last longer. But again, the material was cheap, it was plentiful, didn't take a lot of effort to construct it. If you look at the pictures, it wasn't exactly built from a blueprint, and it looked really good. But in fact, in some ways it was worse, because it wasn't built to last, it wasn't good construction. And although it looked good on the outside, it was going to get totally destroyed, and his loss, in fact, was going to be bigger than the one who had made the simple construction out of hay. Now, this is a picture of people who fall into the category of living in a financial house of wood. In other words, it looks strong on the outside, but underneath, there's really no true security. These are people that maybe they have margin, but they're totally unprepared for an attack. The wolf comes, and they thought they were ready, and maybe it takes a little bit more effort or a little bit longer for that wolf to blow the house down. Maybe has to huff and puff and really huff and puff. But the fact is, that house was not built on any stronger foundation than the house of hay. He just used different materials. And what I see people doing, in many cases, these are examples of people who are possibly living with two incomes, and they feel more secure because they think, oh, I don't have all my eggs in one basket. But in fact, because they're living on a margin, a razor-thin margin, that wind that maybe causes one of them to lose their income, suddenly the house of sticks gets blown over. Maybe it's people who've been putting their money in a 401k for a long time, and maybe they're only 30 years old, but they can't touch that money without a penalty until they're 59 and a half. And they have no reserve savings. They don't even have money saved up for an emergency account. And so these winds come, and maybe it takes a little bit more wind than it took for the house of straw. But again, they have no margin. They're not prepared for the enemy. They've been living as if there was no tomorrow. Maybe they've got an adjustable rate mortgage that's about to reset. And that's the strong wind that's blowing. But here's an example, another example, of people who did not heed the proper advice and are living in danger of having their home destroyed, having their life blown over by the enemy. When we come back, we're going to talk about the third little pig who built his house out of brick and how you can build your financial house on the rock. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about the financial lessons that you can learn from that great fairy tale that we all know, the story of the three little pigs. We've already talked about what it's like to be the first pig building a financial house out of straw, and the second pig, which built a financial house out of wood. Now, I believe the first one is a person who had total disregard for God's word. They were only in it to eat, drink, and be merry, and they just built a simple structure in order to have a good time. The second pig also represents somebody that wanted to have a good time, didn't follow through with great planning, didn't put their best effort into their home, and lived with a false sense of security. And I think there are people who believe that God has something to do with their finances, but they don't really go all the way. And maybe they think a little bit of that truth will help me, but not 100% of it. So I'm not going to get too concerned about that wolf. I'm not going to get too concerned about being attacked. I'm just going to live kind of part in the world, part in God's truth. But let's look at this third little pig. The third little pig built his house out of brick. Now, brick was a more costly material. It was probably slower to build. It probably took a lot more hard work. It took a level of planning, a level of saving in order to make that happen. And it's interesting that the brothers, the other pigs, were out playing and dancing and actually making fun of their brother for toiling so long and worrying about the house he was going to live in. They thought, why don't you give that up and come out and play like the rest of us? But in the end, it was that pig who was safe from danger. And building a house, a financial house out of brick, is a totally different endeavor than what the first two little pigs did. I look at this as a person who believed God's word. Simple truths in the scripture like steady plodding brings prosperity. hasty speculation brings poverty. And that this third little pig was actually diligent. You know, the scripture says that diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. It says the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Now, this diligent little pig wanted to be protected from the enemy. And so because he built a strong house, he demonstrated wisdom. In fact, that was the pig that the wolf could not blow his house down. And I think there's some interesting things about how the wolf attacked the strongest of the three pigs. First of all, he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed. And so he tried extra hard with the simple things that destroyed the first two houses. But then he realized that wasn't going to work. And the story goes in the fairy tale that after he was out of breath, that he tried to trick the person inside the brick house. And he literally tried to get him to come out so that he could eat him up. But the person inside the brick house was wise. And he saw the deception and would not leave the security of his home. To me, that's a person who believes in God's truth, who actually knew why they were in the security of that home, and they relied upon that security, and they could not be deceived by the lies and the tricks and the schemes of this world. And then third, the wolf decided that that didn't work, so he's just going to come right down the chimney and go inside and get him. Well, because of the plans that this wise builder had made, that didn't work either. And all it took was moving a pot of hot water underneath the chimney, and the wolf was captured and, in fact, defeated. Now, what I learned from that is that there are multiple people that God raises up throughout history to be prepared for the attacks of the enemy, that God has sent ahead to build a strong house. It's exactly what he did with Joseph. He sent him ahead of his brothers, and he established a strong financial house to endure the storms of life and the attacks of the enemy. And it was, in fact, just like in this story, that was the brother who saved and preserved the other brothers. And I believe that God wants us to have a purpose in which we set out to build a strong financial house. A house of brick is not just so that you have the nicest house in the family. It's not just so that you can say, look what I did, look what I have. It's so that it can fulfill a purpose that God has to preserve others. And so these two brothers took shelter in the home of their other brother. And in the end, it was the wise brother who had the joy of being the one God used to save his other brothers. And it reminds me of how God uses people who are wise. God uses people who make those decisions, who go against the current, who face ridicule from maybe even their own family, but take the time to be wise and diligent and do the planning, that have a safe place, that God will turn around and give you the joy of being used for his purposes, maybe even to protect your own family, just like he did when he sent Joseph ahead to save and preserve his own family. You know, when Walt Disney came out with this story in 1933 and made it popular through the cartoon, it inspired people to identify the wolves in their lives and to prepare to fight against them. Maybe their wolf was unemployment. Maybe it was suffocating poverty. Maybe it was just depression or oppression at the times of that the economy was so bad that they said, that's a wolf that I'm not going to let get me. And it was used in a very interesting way. But before he popularized that version, there was a politically incorrect version. And that was that the enemy, once he blew down each house, he actually ate the pig. In other words, they didn't just run and hide in safe harbor in their brother's house, but he literally blew the house down and ate the first two brothers. And then when he came to the final house, that little pig actually ate the wolf. So we don't tell that version anymore, but there's a great lesson to learn from that. And sometimes in this world, our troubles don't have this kind of ending. Our troubles actually end with very, very severe consequences. And the truth is, sometimes there is not a safety net. Sometimes there are going to be terrible, devastating circumstances. And the warning here is to never presume that you're going to be bailed out by somebody else, but to build your house on the solid rock, to build it on the truth of Jesus Christ. Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible. Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Well, welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball back here with Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, obviously a great kid story, but there's so much more to it. In fact, many of the nursery rhymes and fairy tales that we learned as children had meanings beyond what as kids we saw. And certainly, I'm not sure if this was designed to be a financial lesson, but it fits very well and it hits home.
Well, you know, Dave, I actually studied that, and it was made popular by a man named Joseph Jacobs. He was popularized this story through a book that was published called English Fairy Tales. And there were just, I think, up to 80 fairy tales in that book. And most of us were raised with those stories that he had collected and popularized. And I don't think he had financial lessons in mind when he taught it. But I do think there's some things that we can actually take away from it. First of all, identify yourself in that story. Are you living in a financial house of straw, a financial house of wood, or are you living in a financial house of brick? And no matter which one you're in, you're vulnerable to the enemy attacks, but you need to transition out of the weak ones and into a strong one. And the warning that I think that I get from this story is that you're either going to be one that is destroyed by the simple attacks of the enemy, or you could be the one that God raises up to make a plan, to be prepared, to get your house in order, to live out God's purposes in your life. You know, I could overlay this on this entire story, that God called the man in the brick house to make money, to manage it wisely, and to use it to fulfill a greater purpose for his life. And so that's what God wants us to do with our resources. The resources he's entrusted to us is to take them, be diligent, make a plan, get prepared, know the enemy will attack, don't get deceived, build a strong foundation, trusting God all the way through, and be prepared to help others. What a wonderful role during this time right now, during this economic crisis, as the wolves are at the door with so many people. Maybe you're going to church with them. Maybe they're in your neighborhood. Maybe they're people that you're sitting next to at work. But their wolves are at the door, and people are getting frightened to death. They're getting chewed up. They're getting hurt. They're getting scared. You can help. You can show them the way. You can tell them God's truth. You can invite them to share in your resources. You know, I think Barnabas is a great example of one God used during a time of great trial and persecution, even when the church was born, that sold his resources in order to support others. I think that's what money is given to us for, and I hope you've been inspired to see yourself as the one God can use to help others.
Well, one of the practical ways that you can help someone who might be hurting financially is to give them a copy of the Money Map. It gives them some guidance about how to move from that straw house to the brick house, and you can find those at crown.org. And while you're there, if you'd like to listen to this program one more time, you can find that on the left-hand side of our homepage and click on the radio button. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for being with us for this edition of Money Life.